And Candace, thanks for sharing. Sometimes I don't even know what to pray about. And I just say, Lord, I don't even know what to pray for, but just help the situation. Like sometimes that's my prayer, depending on the situation. So I was just going to share for a few minutes on Colossians 3, and I'm only going to look at two verses, verses 1 and 2. So Jason had played the song, Awaken My Ear, and that song started with, it says, I have set my heart to seek your face, okay? And if we look in Colossians 3, I'll just read the first four verses here, okay? Colossians 3, it says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, you also will be revealed with him in glory. So we see the first four verses, but I was really just going to talk a little bit about the first two verses. There's a command to us to say, it says, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is. And then it says, set your mind on things above. So just wanted to start off by asking the question first. What are the things above that we're supposed to seek? What are those things? Like it says, set your mind on things above. Keep seeking the things above. What are those things above we're supposed to seek, right? And I think if all of you think about that, like what are those things above? I think a lot of us could probably come up with a few thoughts in our mind, like what are the things we should seek? But I listed a couple, three of them that I'll just start off with, and you know, there's probably a lot more good things. So the first thing I thought of was, you know, the very first thing that came to my mind was his great and precious promises. The Bible is full of God's amazing promises. And it's, you know, it says in 2 Peter that his great and precious promises can make us partakers of the divine nature. That means his promises can actually let us share in his nature, right? And, you know, we could think about what are some of the promises. Like he's promised to never leave us or forsake us, right? That's an amazing promise. You know, he promised that all things work together for good in our life to those who seek God. Like that's another promise. You know, he's promised to complete the work that he started in us. That's only three. There's so many promises in the Word of God. And I think that's one thing that we should seek, right? We should be able to seek the things above, seek his promises. Second thing is we could remember what the Lord did for us. And last week, Joel shared from Colossians 2. You know, there's a few different things that are listed there. And this is another really good thing to think on. So it said in Colossians 2, I'll just remind you of a couple things, that, you know, he canceled the certificate of debt that was hostile to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So, you know, he forgave us all our sins. Everything that was against us, the Lord took it out of the way, and he nailed it to the cross, right? He disarmed the authorities and rulers that were against us, right? The Lord did that for us. It says in Colossians 1 that the Lord rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his Son. So that's another thing we could think about. What has the Lord done for us? Like we don't not only think about his promises, but we can also think about what did the Lord do for us? You know, we were in this terrible place, destined for hell, and the Lord took us out of there, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his Son. So that's another thing we can think about. And then the third thing I thought is, what did he do? Who are we in Christ, right? Not only what did he do for us, but who are we in Christ? And I'll just list a couple things from Ephesians 1. In Ephesians 1, it says, number one, the Lord has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that's in Christ. Like every single blessing that's in Christ, he's blessed us with. Imagine that. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. And it even says in verse 5 of Ephesians 1 that the Lord predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters. Like we're actually his children, that he cares about so much that we can't even imagine. So those are a few of the things that we can think on, right? But the main topic I wanted to talk about today was, I think we all know that we should set our mind on things above, right? We all know that we should keep seeking those things, but somehow we have a hard time doing that. I'm using myself as an example. We get into daily life, and it's very easy to forget all of the good things that we sometimes have read, and we can get discouraged. We can just, you know, get down. And so I was thinking through, what are some things we can do? What are some, you could say, some tips to keep us seeking the things above, right? To keep us setting our mind on things above. So I've got three different things to cover, tips to help us do that, because, you know, I can struggle with it. I think we can all struggle with that, just to keep our mind set on things above, especially when the week comes and we get into our week and we go to work and there's, you know, problems at work we deal with, or, you know, we go to school and there's things, lots of things can distract us. So I wanted to share three different topics, how we can keep our mind set on things above. Okay, so the first thing is, it says, set your mind on things above. When it says to set, that's actually, in my mind, a description of our will. We're supposed to physically set our heart on things above with our will. Moses had actually wanted to, the Lord had told Moses they could go on to the next place, and Moses said, Lord, I don't want to go without you. So I think we need to set our heart that we want to walk through our life with God and not without God. It says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, in all your ways acknowledge him. And when I looked that up a little bit, I was looking into that. In all your ways acknowledge him. It's like I'm saying, Lord, I want to go through my day today with you. And Lord, I want to walk with you today. Help me to go through this morning with you, Lord. And we even say, hey, if we're at work, you see, Lord, in the next 2 hours, I'm going into meetings and I want to do this with you. It's like we're acknowledging the Lord in our day-to-day life. And it said in Romans 1 about the people of the world who are not godly, it said they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. So it's like they just thought, I just want to go through my life. I don't care about what God wants. I want to make my own decisions. I want to do my own things, and I don't need to acknowledge God. God wants us to acknowledge him in all things as we go through our life. In Psalm 16, I'll just read one verse here, 16 verse 8. It says, I have set the Lord continually before me. I have set the Lord continually before me. Like, what does that mean? Do we actually take the Lord and set him before us? Obviously, we can't physically grab him and do that. But I think when it says, I have set the Lord continually before me, with our will, we're making a decision to say, Lord, I want to walk with you in front of me today, whatever I do. And I think the Lord wants us to do that. And the very cool thing about this is any one of us can do that. All of us here can make decisions about things, right? You know, you get up in the morning, you say, I'm going to make a decision to have this cereal or this oatmeal for breakfast. Or, you know, I go to, at lunchtime, I can make a decision. Do I want to go for Tim Hortons or Starbucks coffee or whatever? We have so many decisions we make with our will. Well, with our own will, we can do the same thing. And we can say, Lord, I want to set you before me today. So I think if we do that with our will, then that'll help us to keep the Lord in front of us as we go through our day, and it'll help our mind be focused on things above. But it takes practice, and practice makes better. So I want to practice that this week. I want to practice, Lord, I want to set you before me today. I want to walk through my day with you. And I think we can all practice that. So that's the first point. Now, if we're seeking something, we're seeking something very, very good, okay? And that leads me to the second point, okay? We're seeking something very good. So naturally, you know, we seek things that we think are going to benefit us, right? If we think about your life, oftentimes, well, you know, if there's certain things we think are going to help us in life or benefit us, like, you know, we got to get training for school, or, you know, we're playing sports and we want to get better at sports, you know, we spend time and we invest energy to try to, you know, seek those things to improve them. We spend a lot of time seeking things that we think will benefit us. If we could get a glimpse or a peek in the window of how great it is to have fellowship with the Lord, how great this joy is, and how great this peace is, and how great this fellowship is with God. If we can get a glimpse, a little more than we have today, I think we will seek it as a treasure more than we do today. In fact, if we look at Colossians chapter 2, that I think Joel read last week, in verses 2 and 3, Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3, Paul had said, I pray that their hearts would be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from a full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ himself. And of course, we remember God's mystery is Christ in us. Okay? And then he said, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The question I've asked myself is, do I see that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ? Like, you know, we all know God is good, but if we actually saw that there's such a treasure in Christ, that fellowship with him is not worth missing out even a moment for, we would seek after that because we would realize how good it is. Like, we spend so much energy sometimes in life chasing after all these things that we think are going to help our life, but God, chasing after him is the best possible thing. So for this second point, in my mind, we just have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, show me, open my eyes to see how good you are. Open my eyes to see how valuable fellowship with you is, and how valuable, how much joy and peace there can be had in you. And if we ask the Lord that, he wants to answer that prayer, and he will open our eyes to see that. And if he shows us the treasure that's there, we'll want to seek it, because we'll just realize it's such a great treasure. Like the guy who saw this treasure in the field, and when he realized that there was a treasure there, he sold everything he had without even a hesitation to buy the field so he could have this treasure. And this, the Lord is that treasure for us. And I want to know him more, and I want to know this treasure in him. And we just have to say, Lord, open my eyes to see the treasure that's in you. Last point about that too. Jesus had said, he said something about what we can expect to get out of something. Jesus said, with the measure that you measure, it'll be measured to you, right? So the more value we place on something, the more careful we are about it. So I think we need to realize that this treasure's in God, and we want to give him everything. We need to taste and see he is good. So that was the second point. You know, there's such a treasure in God. We need to ask him to show us how good it is. Okay, third point, and it's more of a practical example. You know, we want to keep seeking the things above. It's a choice with our will. We want to realize that this treasure is so great. But practically speaking, we also have to focus sometimes down here. You know, we all have jobs. We have to work. We have to focus our mind on these things here. So the question I was thinking is, how can we do that, but also remember the Lord through it? So there's an example in Romans chapter 4 of Abraham. And I think it was a really cool example, you know, what Abraham, how he actually did that. So Romans chapter 4. Verse 18 to 20. So it said, in hope against hope, Abraham believed that he might become a father of many nations. To which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead, since he was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So first of all, Abraham didn't ignore the true facts that were around him. He looked at the situation, and he saw, yeah, I'm 100 years old, and I'm not going to be able to naturally have kids. It's impossible. My wife, she's never had a child, and naturally it's impossible. So he didn't ignore the facts around him. You know, he set his mind on the things in front of him and saw it. He looked at the true facts, just like sometimes we have to do in life. You know, we have to look at the facts. But there was a key but here. He was faced with an impossible mountain, but there was a promise, and God promised he'd have a son. So what I really like is it says here in verse 20, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. So even though Abraham didn't ignore the reality in front of him, he saw it, but God. So those two words, but God, we should remember. What I wanted to think is, what is your impossible situation in front of you? What is your mountain in front of you? We don't get discouraged. How we can keep our mind on things above is we remember two words, but God. Abraham remembered that. He knew the situation was completely impossible, but he said, but God. He remembered God's promise, and what happened? He did not waver in unbelief. He grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. That can happen to each one of us when we're faced with our impossible situations that can get us discouraged. If we don't say about God and we just focus on our problem in front of us, we will get discouraged, and it'll lead to, you know, worry and fear and sin and all this stuff. Instead, we should look up and say, but God, does God have a promise about this? And if the answer is yes, we can grow strong in faith, giving glory to God. So that part, you know, I thought was really, really cool. So those were kind of the key points I wanted to share. So first of all, just to summarize, we need to set our will to seek him. In other words, acknowledge him in all our ways. Say, Lord, I want to set you before me as I go through my day. We need to ask the Lord to open the eyes of our heart to see the riches that are in him. If we could get a glimpse of those riches, we will want to seek it with all our heart. And thirdly, we can train our mind. And when we're faced with day-to-day challenges in our life, so we don't get discouraged, we say, but God, and remember that God has given us a hope and he can help us. So that's what I wanted to share today. Thank you.